Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Jets 2-1. Patriots now 1-2. Jets dominate. Win it by a score of 24-3.
We came out and got our ass kicked. Plain and simple. That's a more succinct way of describing how tonight's game went. That from Jabril Peppers. You heard Al Michaels on the call. A call which he was roundly criticized for on social media tonight, Andy, for not having a lot of energy, sounding like he was distant and removed. Didn't want to be there. You know what? Probably because he was emotionally distant, he was removed and actually didn't really want to be there. Much like most of us who got about halfway through that game and thought, I actually don't really want to keep watching this game as well.
Yeah, would you really be that energetic for a 24-3 blowout win? Because I wouldn't.
And no, in a game, Joe Braverman, our belated birthday boy, producer Joe Braverman.
Happy birthday.
Too late again, Andy.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Braverman. No, none of us wanted to. I didn't want to have to watch that whole game. I love the Patriots. I live for Patriots football. It's one of my favorite things in the world. Did not want to continue watching that game. The result was like, that was, what do they say? Fait accompli. That was like, you knew what was like at 7-0. All right, we're good.
And Al Michaels has 11 million reasons to watch that game. It's good money if you can make it. I thought he was terrible. Yeah. He signed a 3-year. I just looked it up. He has an $11 million per year contract. But
and gets an 8-minute stake at halftime. And that's not code for anything, by the way.
Yeah, that sounded creepy. That's Diddy called and said, that's creepy.
Oh, no. We're already there. Diddy?
Not already. Yes, it's apparently. Past midnight.
Or allegedly. Yeah. All right, before we get ourselves in trouble. Actually, it's after midnight. Who's listening? Oh, my God. Actually, tons of people are listening because our lines are jammed right now. All right, here we go. Andy, to the phones, our favorite part where the people tell us, the Pats people give us the truth, the whole truth, straight cut. So help us God. Jake is in Boston. He's been waiting patiently. He's got the point that we're all... Jake, are we really going to have... We didn't start talking quarterbacks until November last year. You're telling me it's already time to start studying offensive linemen?
I'm already started. I mean, this is... College football is very entertaining. I would need something to watch. Boys, 5 years ago, the Patriots were in the Super Bowl. Tonight, we're in the toilet bowl. And, you know, during Bill's finest hour, which was Super Bowl 53 against the Rams, Robert Kraft admitted tonight to Taylor Rooks that he anointed Gerard Mayo as the next one 5 years ago. So it'll be interesting to see Bill on all of his, 15 different platforms now, just rip the Patriots this week. And it was disgusting to see Jonathan smirking like a hyena in the suite tonight, knowing he was behind the head coaching coup and Gerard looked awful tonight as a coach as they were getting their brow beat by Dr. Aaron Rodgers, who, given this track record the last 4 years, seems to be smarter than most doctors in the world right now. Now, a positive is in 2001, there was a team that won their first game like the Patriots did, and then went on to lose 15 straight games. Do you guys remember who that team was?
No.
Mm-mm.
The Carolina Panthers, who you crushed in their final game, their 15 straight loss. en route to your first Super Bowl. Now, ironically enough, they didn't pick first in the 2002 draft. That was the Houston Texans, the expansion team, who picked Derek Carr or David Carr and then proceeded to ruin him. Instead, the Panthers drafted a dynamic two-sport threat by the name of Julius Peppers. And that 2002 draft of theirs was the cornerstone of what they built over the next 3 years, because if John Casey didn't kick the ball out of bounds in Super Bowl 38, they would have built a Super Bowl champion off of 1-15 in 3 years' time. That is what you are hoping for. You need picks. You need lots of them. You need to build from the offensive line out. You can't make a decision on Drake May now, but you kind of do, because Arch Manning is sitting there in 18 months' time as the number one draft pick in the 2026 NFL draft. And I want him, if Drake is not the guy, and I want to know very quickly if he's not the guy. So listen, you have nothing to lose. 1-15, 1-16 should be on the table, and you need picks. You either need to learn that Drake sucks, and you need to tank for Arch Manning, or you need to know that he's got something and you need a left tackle next to him, or you need offensive linemen. That should be your absolute priority here. Lose, lose, lose. Draft, draft, draft. Build a winner 2 or 3 years from now. Or at least you got to know Drake isn't the guy, because then Arch Manning is. Yes, stalk every offensive lineman you can over the next 6 months.
All right, Jake, thank you very much for the call. We just only have so much time for each and every Lord. Phone call, but this didn't go into Jenny Belichick's Instagram. This didn't go into Mac Jones's girlfriend's purse choice dresses or what she wore at Taylor Swift. This was billboards that Jake paid for on Route 1. This actually was a pretty harsh, direct, and warranted phone call. I don't disagree with the majority of what he said in that little rant / diatribe, which he had cocked up and ready to go. Andy, when we talked about, like, oh, you need the quarterback, can't be anything without the quarterback. You also can't, as we're seeing, you can't do much without an offensive line. And the Patriots don't have anything resembling an offensive line. And I actually want to go to a regular listener to the postgame show who actually just tweeted out a photograph of him drinking one of my favorite beers while watching our show on Twitch. And we are available, by the way, folks, our postgame show, which is, of course, sponsored by our good friends at McFarland Energy. The postgame show is available on Twitch if you would like to watch it. That is twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Our pal at 617 Butch is watching on his laptop, currently destroying a Life on Mars and Oktoberfest from the good people at Berkshire Brewing, one of my absolute favorites. He tweeted us just before that and said, guys, legitimate, this ties into Jake's call, question for the pod. I'm going to take it on the postgame show. Looking ahead to the trade deadline, are there assets on this sorry squad that you think, A, might bring a decent asset in return, or B, you'd be willing to let go via trade? Serious question, Andy. I'll hang up and listen.
Not a lot. I'm trying to think. Dietrich Wise, Jonathan Jones.
Jonathan Jones, I agree.
David Andrews. I mean, you're talking about older players, gross, who would have value elsewhere that, you know, you could even package it in a Ray Bourque kind of way where you give them a shot to play for a contender and play in the postseason and maybe get one last taste of Super Bowl glory. No, there's not a lot, because I don't think you're trading away guys that you've recently re-signed. You're not trading a Doug or a Peppers or any of those types of guy, Tavai, some of your core players. So, yeah, I would say Jonathan Jones would be the most likely candidate, followed by Wise, and then maybe David Andrews, but not really.
I can't trade David Andrews. A, I don't have a backup center. B, he doesn't want to go anywhere.
Right.
He's already won. He's got a couple Super Bowls with the Pats. I think, if anything,
Many options down that route, and I don't think they can do that. I think Elliott Wolf, when he got on his high horse talking to Andrew Callahan before the season about tanking, he can't trade somebody like Jonathan Jones because that's tanking. Right now, they're not tanking. They just put together a bad football team, and they're in a bridge year. But if you trade Jonathan Jones, who's healthy, that's going down the road of tanking, and I think it's okay. I think it should be on the table. The Andy Hart plan has been singing this all along. I've been fighting with my new co-host on the afternoon program on WEEI a lot about this. He's like, I want to try to win 6 games. And I'm like, why? Well, if you're going to win six games, what the hell is the point? Because you need high draft picks. And I don't just fixate on the first round. It's after that. We learned it this year. Like, guys can go quickly. The idea of getting, it was my guy, Myron Guyton. Not Myron Guyton. What was his name? The Guyton guy,
not
the tackle.
Gary. Tyler Guyton.
Tyler Guyton.
The one guys who went to, didn't he go to Dallas?
Yeah, and guys can go a 1, 2, 3, 4 picks before you if you're, you know what I mean? Every pick you're higher in the second round, the third round, offers opportunities to take guys at positions you may need when runs happen or make it easier to trade. So, yes, I believe you should be collecting assets. I believe you want the highest pick possible, and I do believe it starts with a tackle probably in the first round, but you're still going to need talent at wide receiver. You're still going to need talent at pass rusher. You're going to have to fill out this roster in some other areas as well. So, yeah, this is a bridge year. This is a collect assets, Danny Ainge style year for this football team. It is. And I know people don't want to hear that. And oh, they'll never do that. It's what it is. It's a bridge year.
It is just a bridge to God knows where, a bridge to Terabithia at this
point. No. See, I don't believe that. If you do this right, Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo, it's a bridge to success. If Drake May is your quarterback, and Robert Kraft said something important on the pregame show today.
Let's hear that real quick. I believe Joe Braverman has that. Joe, could you dial up that little bit of pregame audio we wanted to share?
In what ways have you seen Mayo really install his own culture?
Well, look, Gerard learned a lot from Bill and, the technical background, but they're each special individuals. I've gotten to know Gerard over the last 12, 15 years, and, you know, I picked him 5 years ago to be our next. He's very special. It's great to have the ability to train under Bill.
At least you could get the man a decent microphone, quality XLR cable if you're going to talk.
Praise Prime, and he probably shouldn't have, because right there they cut off his damn interview and we couldn't hear all of it. But no, that wasn't actually the part I was talking about. It was when he said Drake May, there was a quarterback we wanted and he fell to us, or he came to us, or whatever the wording was.
We wanted and he fell
so
to us.
So he made the insinuation that of the three quarterbacks, they got the one they actually wanted. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if that's revisionist history to make it seem like that, whatever. But they got the quarterback. If you get the tackle, if you get the wide receiver in free agency with your $137 million of cap space, you have the ability to marry that up with some of the core players you re-signed this offseason, some of the core guys on the roster, the Keon Whites and the Duggars and the Peppers and the Gonzaleses. You can turn this around relatively quickly. Too many people thought this was the year you could go worst to first. I told Adam Jones, who kept saying it, you could go worst to first. Houston did it. You have no shot.
He was in on six wins, and I don't think anyone with their head screwed on straight could have possibly thought this could have been a Houston Texans 2.0 redux.
There were a lot of people that were saying it. It was stupid. Next year, it won't be stupid. If you don't F it up, you can do it.
617-779-7937 is your telephone number. Andrew, Brian, Sorja, and Bob, don't go anywhere. We'll get to you in just a moment. But first, we have to catch everyone up on all the sports news that is trending now with the birthday boy, Joe Braverman.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So whoever the quarterback is, I mean, it's not like if Jacoby's the quarterback, we just want to throw him to the wolves. So we're excited about our offensive line group. We're still working to find that the correct combination in there, and I think we have the pieces in place to be able to compete.
That was Elliot Wolf this summer, in front of the cute little Mass General Waste Innovations board, after one of the practices on the fields behind Gillette Stadium. Quote, excited about the offensive line. I like Elliot Wolf. I disagree. I wasn't excited then. I'm not excited now. I've actually even gone past the point of concern. I'm almost apathetic to it, or how Jacoby Brissett is probably feeling right now, depending on how his nerves are responding or how much medicine he's had to take. Numb. It's terrible.
You're apathetic, and they are pathetic. So that's where we are with the offensive line.
It is just so bad. To the social medias, at Mindsets with a Z. Honestly, guys, this is kind of what I expected the first game to look like against Cincy. It just took a few weeks to get there. Is that the mindset that is now seeping into Pats Nation as we prepare to get back to the calls, Andy? Let's find out from people themselves. Is this really where people thought we were going to be? It just took longer to get there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people early on when I said 0-17 were, you're an idiot, you're a dumbass. And then August played out and it was a lot of, son of a bitch, you might actually be onto something, Hart. Mm-hmm. And then, Hart, you idiot, they're 1-0.
It's a common theme here. It's a lot.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it is. But the common theme is I'm usually pretty right in the end. I'm right for far more often than I'm wrong. And the reality is, this was a flawed football team and a flawed offense, especially with significant flaws at key positions like quarterback, left tackle, and playmakers. And when you don't have any of those, it's damn near impossible for a potentially flawed coordinator to do the job. I don't know if he's good, but I also know I don't think anybody could be good. You know, there was a comment during the broadcast when Aaron Rodgers was defending Hackett, his guy. And he's
loves
like,
when
we execute, the scheme is fine. When we don't execute, the scheme isn't very good. Well, the Patriots don't have the talent to get to the point where they can even execute. They're not a competitive talent roster on offense right now, and that's why they're going to struggle to win football games. They really are. They're going to struggle.
They are indeed. We are in for the long haul and the process, as are the good people of Pats Nation, up after midnight East Coast time, wanting to talk a little foosball. We'll take them in order of their dialing into the station, talking to the birthday boy, producer Joe Braverman. Andrew's in my favorite place in the world, Cape Cod. What's up, Andrew?
What's up, guys? Hey. So we saw tonight what we knew was coming. The Patriots played a solid, well-round team with a good quarterback, got absolutely destroyed, exposed, if you will. So a couple main points. If you're looking to see Drake May start anytime soon, I don't think you're going to. Jacoby Brissett was not the problem here. The problem was everywhere else. The receivers on the Patriots cannot get open. Two games in, and the NFL have enough tape to shut down the run game and Stevenson. What does that leave you with? Nothing. Mm. And, Andy, I don't share your optimism going forward, because – here, I'm going to say it. I don't think our head coach, Jerod Mayo, has the ability to get creative to face the other NFL teams. Even against Cincinnati, they were able to grind out a win, but it was simple football. Last week, same thing. Throw in some good plays with Hunter Henry. You get close. Still not the win. This week, evident against the Jets. Good team. You had to get creative. They weren't. They lost badly. And I think there's going to be a lot more of this to come.
Well, I appreciate the call, Andrew. That's I'm not going to say somewhere between pessimistic and fatalistic look at things. I mean, you even realistic? Heard our most negative listener and frequent caller to the postgame show, Jake in Boston, saying earlier, best case scenario, what the Pats fans should hope for is the way Carolina turned things around 22 years ago. Did not expect him to go into that deep a dive, but it's possible. It just, it's not happening right now.
Can we clip the part where the caller said, Andy, I don't share your optimism or whatever? Let's keep that around in case we need that. Get that very,
Andy, I don't get that optimistic. You do not.
And I'm not overly optimistic for this year. I hope he didn't mistake that. I maintained all along. You know, you thought it was snarky, and when we did the post game show for the Bengals game, when I said that 1-16 was still in play after, you know, 0-17 dissipating, I kind of meant it.
What the odds on it have certainly improved.
I don't think this is a very good football team. My optimism comes in if you believe in Elliott Wolf. He has the tools. He has the road to turn this team around in a relative quick manner. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's fair to already question Elliott Wolf because we just listened to him sell us a bill of goods. And he lied to us. It's fine. It's sports lies. I know GMs and coaches have to do it sometime as part of their business. Parents lie to kids sometimes. It's part of their business. There's lying in this world that just has to take place. Nobody's honest all the time. It's just the reality of the world. But if he believed that he did enough at left tackle by getting Chukwuma Okorafor and Caden Wallace, that's where I have concerns, because then I start to question.
The guy was so disheartened at his own play and the level of play in the Patriots. He literally hit. I mean, that's 2 years in a row, by the way, Andy. I don't know. The Patriots lead the league in a lot of ignominious stats, one of which has to be how many years in a row has a player literally disappeared from the team in the first month? Last year was Matt Corral.
Oh, this it happens all the time. Goes back 20 years. Offensive linemen forever retired, but it was different back then. It was usually because, you know, Dante's mean and I'm not good enough and he told me I wasn't good enough and I can't make it here. I can't hang here. Now it's just like, well, they suck and I suck, so what's the point? I'm going home.
I got a couple million bucks. I'm just going to go hang out with my kids.
Right. But no, there is literally, I feel like we say this too much sometimes. I don't see any literal way this offensive line can have significant improvement over the course of the year. They should get better.
There's no one there.
Right. They should get better practicing. Like, who was playing at the end? I didn't even notice. It was the Thomas guy, Zach Thomas, and the other guy were actually out there at the end when Drake May was out there. But
the two dudes that they picked up on waivers after the Tuesday cut down to 53?
Yeah. It was like that old show from Tufts, two guys, a girl, and a pizza place. This was two dudes and crappy football. It's not as good, not as catchy.
So now we're left pining for the days of Vidarian Lowe. Caden Wallace, now he had a tough task tonight, obviously. No one should have to try to block Quinnen Williams, the force of nature he is in their first start as a rookie when you're playing out of position, no less. But, you know, Tyrone Wheatley Jr., who they got from Cleveland last year in the Pierre Strong trade, he's basically spent the entirety of that time on IR. Not to say that Pierre Strong Jr. doesn't hurt his hamstring every other week for the Browns. I don't know where and how. You can't just trade. No one trades midseason for a starting tackle.
No. No one gets rid of starting tackles. If you get tackles, they're for a reason. Like, good tackles are very rarely available. And if they're available, they cost boatloads of money. Like, that's, you know, okay, Tyron Smith, for example. First of all, he was never coming to New England. I don't believe he would have come to a team where he's like, wait, why do I want to go 1-15 or 2-15?
$10 million does a lot.
Yeah, but he knows he can get it somewhere else. He knows he's going to get paid somewhere else. And it didn't make sense for you. Like, what am I going to get better? I do still say the Jonah Williams thing was probably the best option, best plan, palatable plan. And
but what about Riley Reiff?
No, that didn't work. That didn't go well either. Nope. None
about
of that
Calvin Anderson.
Oh, my Calvin Anderson. Nice person. Work.
Yep. Nice guy. The whole malaria thing sucked. But that's that right there, I think, is going to be sort of the story of this season. Is, I mean, yeah, you develop Drake May. There's other stories, but just Elliot Wolf's blind spot, refusal. I don't even know exact. Did he believe Chukwuma Okorafor was a left tackle? Like, do you think he believed it when he said that on, you know, pre-draft, whenever that was, that draft press conference? Or was that just BS, pure propaganda BS, and he knew that?
Why did you have to go into the season with an offense when you have $60 million? Call up your boy Bakhtiari. Beg him to come chug beers on the Jumbotron and throw his body in at left tackle.
And he probably wouldn't work either. He'd probably get hurt and probably look old. And, you know, that's the problem with some of these guys. But, and that's where it goes back to, going back to Jake real quick before we go to a break, is, like, Jake continues to have this indication that, like, Belichick was doing a good job. He wasn't.
He was super critical of Belichick back when it was convenient to be critical of Belichick.
Right. And Belichick ran his course. It was time. And I'm not saying that Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo are the right guys for the job or are going to succeed, but the Belichick era had run its course and come to an end. And I don't believe you'd be significantly better off right now if Bill Belichick were running this football team.
No, you would not. As a matter of fact, I can point as much as I, you have to always make sure that you pay your due deference and say, as much as I love and respect the man and appreciate everything he did for me, otherwise you're going to get all that social media clap back. Oh, you're just a Belichick hater. You turned on him. Yep. What, 8 rings wasn't enough for you?
Well, six, it's only 6,
know.
So.
I know, but you still hear that. If he had just not taken Cole Strange and had drafted Trent McDuffie, then last year they could have taken a tackle, then they would have a lockdown corner, then they would have a starting left tackle, and then you'd start Drake May this year, and you wouldn't have to worry about getting him killed. So I'm just saying, we all have our blind spots. One more call before we go to the break. Brian is in Drake It. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I don't know if you guys have a TV in the studio there, but Gerard Mayo, in that post-game press conference, he looked like he just watched one of those Komodo dragon videos on YouTube where it, like, eats a live animal. I mean, the guy just looked like he wanted to be anywhere else.
He looked like he found out his wife was cheating on him, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, he sure did. You know, real quick, what you guys are saying, I just completely agree with. And when you went into free agency this past offseason, everybody knew that it was a weak free agent class at tackle. And the fact that you were offered multiple first-round picks for that number 3 pick from the Giants, you could have drafted Joe Alt. You would have had a first-round pick next year, your own first-round pick, which is probably going to be high. And I was looking in, because I haven't really watched much of the Chargers, so I'm like, you know, I wonder how Joe Alt's been doing. In week one, right, he was going up against Max Crosby. He had 11 one-on-one matchups with him, probably the second best pass rusher in football, right? Didn't give up a single pressure against Crosby. And then in week two, he goes up against Clowney. He was actually the highest rated offensive tackle, veteran, rookie, any tackle in football last week. So, you know, you go into the offseason with your big free agent signing, Chukwuma Okorafor, but no one thought that that guy was good to begin with. He walked off the field last season for the Steelers in a game against Jacksonville and refused to go back into the game because it was hot and they were losing. It's not like you were signing anybody that people had high expectations for anyways. And now it's being talked about like, you know, he's a big disappointment, or like we're surprised that he walked away from the team. I just think it's negligent that you walked into, you know, the draft and free agency and you didn't address the biggest parts of the team that you needed to have in place for a good quarterback.
It's a great call, Brian. Appreciate that very much. Thanks for hanging late with us here on the Six Rings postgame show. Andy, what is, quick question and then the break. What is a quarterback's best friend? Is it a receiver that gets open all the time and makes him look good? Or is it the guy that protects his ass and gives him the time to find that receiver that gets open and makes him look good?
Protection. I think offensive line woes can ruin virtually every quarterback. You know, the true greats, I guess, can kind of figure out a way to get rid of the ball quickly or whatever. But for the most part, if you don't have time, you don't have protection, you don't have confidence, you can't play. The only thing I would push back on is all this hinges on what you believe Drake May is. If Drake May is special, if Drake May is a true franchise quarterback, then you have to take him. And I know it's timeline-wise, it's less than ideal. But Joe Alt, a tackle, will win you nothing in the National Football League. Now, he may win in L.A. Why is that? Because they have Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm. Like, and playmakers, too.
They already have their tackle. They already have their quarterback.
My boy McConkey.
Yes, I know, but we're moving past that.
And a coach with a whole system, a proven system that has worked on multiple professional and collegiate levels. Like, they had everything they needed. They just needed to get that boob Staley out of the way and bring in somebody who just chugs whole milk and kicks ass on the field.
And you had none of that. You had none of it. So you need a quarterback. You need your Justin Herbert. And Justin Herbert lost for a while, and it cost a coach his job, and they were picking high, and then they got their offensive lineman. Like, you may need to go down that road, but if at least if you have Drake May, if Drake May is Justin Herbert, let's just say he's that, because I think that's fair, because Justin Herbert is no stud, right? Like, I mean, he's a stud talent-wise, but he hasn't won anything, that kind of thing. You may go down that road where you're changing coaches and looking for the tackle and making decisions about weapons, but you do so having already checked off the most important box. And that's why, even retroactively, even watching the mess that is the offensive line, I don't feel any different about passing on Joe Alt, because you got to have the quarterback. You have to have the quarterback.
Well, if all that pressure falls on the young, broad shoulders of Drake May, he does seem to have the right attitude to be able to handle it. So I'll give him that. I can't say I can give him much time to complete his next pass in the NFL playing for the Patriots, but I'll certainly give it to him that he's got the right attitude. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, we'll clean up the rest of the calls, give you guys a chance to vent your frustrations, make your points, and then sleep well. We'll give you a too quick, too soon preview of the weekend and what's to come next Sunday, or rather in two Sundays, against San Francisco in Patriots game number 4 on the 2024 season. This is the Six Rings Postgame Show, brought to you by McFarland Energy with Fitzy and Hart on WEEI. Take you behind the scenes. Our producer Joe Braverman and I were just discussing whether or not we should actually come back with audio of Shohei Ohtani's 50th and 51st home run on the night, as he becomes the first Major League Baseball player to ever join the 50-50 club. And now, of course, he's a member of the 51-51 club. Why would we play those highlights? Because they were fun. And most of the Patriots game tonight and the subsequent discussion, difficult as it may be, has not been. However, we do appreciate our sponsor, McFarland Energy, for helping bring you tonight's late night edition of the Six Rings Postgame Show. Don't forget to switch to McFarland Energy for oil delivery for a free 2-year service plan and remote tank monitor, or get $500 off a new heating system at McFarlandEnergy.com. Back to the phones we go. Andy, let's clean it up in aisle Six Rings over here. Next up, Barry is in Lexington. What's up, Barry?
Hey. How are you, brother?
Hey, Barry. Great to hear from you. Well, thanks for calling.
Happy birthday to your producer. Sorry, I forgot to say that to him. So just out of curiosity, before we talk about the game, what did you and Andy Hart get him for his birthday present?
What did
this
I get?
It's going to be good. Yes.
I don't know what.
Okay. I knew that was going to be the answer. I stumbled you guys. Okay. So anyway, I think May should stop playing more. If he doesn't want to start him against San Fran, I kind of understand, because San Fran. I think I'm pretty sure they're going to be underdogs by at least, I don't know. What do you guys think? 14?
I'm going to say 10.5.
And, okay, 10.5, whatever. It's a lot. And it's in San Fran. So, unless it's a miracle on ice, I don't think that's going to happen. But as far as the coach goes, I don't think we should be so hard on the coach yet. Mm-hmm. He is new to the job, mm-hmm. and he doesn't have a good team. I mean, the team was terrible. What Belichick left after, you know, obviously having great years, wasn't good. So I don't think we should be so hard on the coach.
Well,
I kind of agree. I agree.
I agree and appreciate the call, Barry. Thank you. And Andy, really,
what did he do wrong?
Birthday gift. Well, no. The same thing. You know what? Actually, the same thing that you were very critical of Matt Patricia for. He said yes to the dress. He took the gig. With it comes all the smoke, the criticism, the consternation, the second guessing, the decision making, everything. People staying up late at night calling from Lexington or wherever else they're getting their space juice from to criticize and cast doubt and shadows upon them. That's why.
So this has been getting a lot of attention today because Mike Reese wrote a piece about the new Patriot way with some quotes from Robert Kraft. So apparently people haven't been paying attention because Robert Kraft has been saying for weeks and maybe months that he hired Gerard Mayo or he decided Gerard Mayo was his next head coach on a 2019 trip to Israel, to which I immediately said, wait a minute, Gerard Mayo started his coaching career in 2019. So he decided before Gerard Mayo had ever coached a single game as an assistant coach that he was going to be the next head coach. People are suddenly paying attention to this and understanding this and whatever. I mean, it's been out there for quite some time, but okay, we'll pretend it's new information. This is on Robert Kraft. He hired a very, very young, inexperienced, green head coach. And yes, Gerard Mayo took it, but it's hard to say no if somebody offers you one of those jobs and says, I want you to be the coach in waiting for one of 32. You're going to run my $7.7 billion franchise. I think you're a leader of men. I'm probably paying you, I don't know, what do you think he's making? $8 million a year?
Five to eight, yeah.
Oh, no, more than five. It's north of five. I would say $8 to $10 million a year. And Gerard's a competitor, and he believes in himself, and he has confidence, and he's succeeded in anything he's ever done, probably. So this is a Robert Kraft decision. You put a very green coach in charge, and everything around him is pretty green and unique and inexperienced, and that happened at a higher level than Gerard Mayo. That happened at the Kraft level management system. So if it blows up, for better or worse, he's had some great hires. He hired Pete Carroll. He hired Bill Belichick. He's done some really impressive things, obviously. We'll see where this goes. But right now, I don't blame Gerard Mayo. He's trying to learn on the fly. I think he's just trying to stay afloat. He's trying not to drown right now.
Last call on the night. Mike is in the car. Mike, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hart, I actually started my work day driving for Uber listening to you in the afternoon show, and now I'm ending my shift listening to you on the post-game show. So, long day for us both, buddy.
Time for a new job.
You know, but here's the thing. I think we got snookered by the week one game, right? Because, let's be honest, we all knew this team was not going to be good this year. Andy, I mean, you had said zero wins was in play, and I agreed with you. So, you know, this is going to be kind of what we're going to see the rest of the year. And it doesn't matter if it's Brissett or May behind this line. If they're running for their life on every play, I mean, literally, it was a jailbreak on almost every play when they weren't even blitzing. They were getting pressure from their four down linemen. It was an absolute pathetic showing. And, you know, just to finish it off real quick, the thing that's starting to concern me organizationally, or I shouldn't even say starting, concerns me organizationally with the Patriots is it seems like everybody on the outside can see things that they can't. We all knew that Matt Patricia as an offensive coordinator was a terrible idea, but they didn't seem to get it. We've all said for years that they need offensive weapons, and they haven't brought anybody in. And we all said in the offseason, the last couple off seasons, that this offensive line is a joke, and they haven't addressed it. It's like everybody can see it except the people down at One Patriot Place.
I agree with you totally, Mike, and I'm sorry to cut the call short, buddy, but we got to wrap up the program. Thank you so much for the call. Great points, buddy. That'll do for tonight's Six Rings postgame show here on WEEI. Great job on the callers. Great job, Andy. Great job, birthday boy Joe Braverman. Tomorrow is a Patriots Friday. Interviews galore from 6A to 6P, including a number of players on the afternoon show with Andy Hart and Christian Arcand as well. We will have the whole weekend and next week to preview the Patriots-San Francisco 49ers game. Don't forget to check out the Six Rings and Football Things podcast on the Odyssey app, and I'll have a fresh Sunday 7 with lots of notes on how things have turned so quickly in Pats Nation at WEEI.com on Sunday. For Hart, for the callers, for everyone involved, for Braverman and beyond, your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens here saying thanks for listening to the Six Rings postgame show. Final from the Meadowlands, Jets 24, Pats 3. We'll talk to you next time.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.